This is our day. Let's seek after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Thank you, Jesus. So, if you were over there in Little Rock, nobody knows the rules. How are we going to do this? And just you know that you must keep quiet. Today, if you feel strongly about, you know, cheering for your preacher, you know, you can just keep to yourself. That will avoid, you know, any disruption and any disturbance. And this is a Bible study, and we try to stay concentrated in the Word, and we ask you for your cooperation, and I hope you understand the one who were not here for the last 2 days. Please, bear with us. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to call, go ahead.
Truly want to thank the Lord. Jesus Christ. There's probably no way we can move this laptop right here, is there? I like to have my Bible right there. I want to thank the Lord truly for the opportunity to search the Scriptures and see what the Bible says about these issues. Today we're talking about spiritual gifts. Oh, not spiritual gifts, excuse me, Spirit baptism. Is it for us today? I'm going to prove to you in the New Testament Bible that it is for us today. It is for the church today. I'm also going to answer some questions that Don McLean, we exchanged 5 questions before, 15 minutes prior to the start of this, in which I have to answer 5 questions. I'm going to go ahead and just start off answering his 5 questions before we get into anything else. His first question, the first question that Don McLean had for me was, is there a possibility that you could be wrong in your understanding of Holy Spirit baptism? Well, I'm sure there's a lot of aspects to Holy Spirit baptism, and it's possible that I could be wrong in some things pertaining to Holy Spirit baptism, but whether or not it is for us today, no, I can't be wrong, because that'd be like asking me, is it possible that you got your paycheck last Friday? I'd have to say, yes, it is. I mean, is it possible you didn't get your paycheck last Friday? I'd have to argue and say no, because I know I did. I've received the Holy Spirit baptism, so my understanding in it and the fullness of it, do I have all knowledge and wisdom and understanding pertaining to all things concerning things of God? No. I know in part, and I prophesy in part, as the Bible says, until that which is perfect has come. But as far as whether it's true or it's for us today, my understanding of that is that it is. It's not possible that I'm wrong about it being for us today, because I've received it, just like I got paid last Friday. Number 2 would be, can I, in my current natural state of mind, read and understand what the Holy Spirit has revealed in order to be saved? Can I read and understand what the Holy in my natural state of mind? Well, in your natural state of mind, can you read and understand? I think the Bible says, let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 says like this. Romans chapter 10 says verse 14, Romans chapter 10 verse 14 says like this, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I believe that God has to, you've got to hear the word. God has to draw your heart. He has to deal with your heart. But yes, in your natural state of mind, you can repent. You can seek the Lord. Now, as far as, the Bible says that in Romans chapter 8, God has to convict your heart. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 6, says that, you can read, repent, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I mean, that doesn't take just probably a fifth grade education to do that. But as far as, but the Lord has to deal with your heart. He has to draw you. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 6, says that, for the carnal mind, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Is not subject. Your carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But when God begins to deal on you and brings godly sorrow, you can repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You don't have to have the Holy Ghost to do that. No, you do not have to have the Holy Ghost to obey the Word of God. Question three is it possible for one to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ by faith without being brought forth by the Holy Spirit to do so? John chapter 6, verse 44. I just want to answer with Bible. That's the best way. That way my words can't be twisted. We'll go to John chapter, and it's the Word of God. We know what we have. All right, John chapter 6, verse 44 says, "No man can come to me except," this is the words of Jesus Christ, "except the Father which hath sent me draw him." So I will say this, if the Spirit of the Father does not draw an individual, he cannot come to Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Father has to draw, and I'll raise him up the last day. Also, John 6 and 65 says, "He said, therefore, I said unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father." There is not a soul in the world that can come to Jesus Christ if it wasn't given of the Father. There's not a soul in the world that can come to Jesus Christ if the Spirit of the Father does not draw him. That's what Jesus Christ said. I'll stand on that. The fourth question is this: was every Pharisee and Sadducee in John's audience baptized with the Holy Spirit? Was every Pharisee and Sadducee in John's audience baptized with the Holy Spirit? I cannot say. The Bible doesn't say so. I know that Paul was a Pharisee. I know that the Bible says in Acts the 15th chapter verse 5 that there was Pharisees that believed. But whether or not there were the Pharisees that was in John's baptism, I cannot say. All I can say is there's not a record of it, so I do not want to testify to anything the Bible does not say. If I have not seen it with my eyes or read it in the Scripture, I cannot attest to something that I have not seen. The fifth question is, but it is possible that they were all baptized with the Holy Spirit. That is quite possible, but I don't have a record of it. Question number five. I keep saying verse. I'm used to the Bible. Question number five. What did the tongue speaker in 1 Corinthians 14 and 14 have? I'll tell you what the tongue speaker in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 14 had. The tongue speaker in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 14, "For if I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth." The one in chapter 14, he had the Spirit which prayed for him. He had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when he prayed, it was the Spirit that prayed for him. Also, I want to go to... I know what he wants me to say. He wants me to say, did he have understanding? Well, I'll tell you what. His understanding, which is his mind, was unfruitful. All right, now we want to go to, that's it. We've answered his five questions. Now we're going to get into the Word of the Lord. Okay, we want to go to Luke chapter 3, verses 12. If you'll follow me in your Bibles. I read out of the King James Bible. I don't condemn every Bible that there is. I know some of them aren't accurate, but I feel most confident with the King James. Some might disagree, but that's just where I feel my confidence. I stick with this Bible. So that's what we're going to be reading out of the King James. The third chapter, verses 12, starting in verse 12, reads like this. It says, "Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do?" Now these publicans are not just your average publicans. These are publicans that are coming to be baptized. So I want you to remember that the ones that John's talking to is folks that are coming to be baptized. "Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed you. And to the soldiers likewise demanded him, saying, What shall we do? And he said, so the soldiers also want to know what to do, so they're coming with a repentant heart. And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Verse 15, And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John whether he were Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them, I indeed," the ones he's talking to came to be baptized, they're wondering if he's even the Christ. They're so astonished at him. And he says, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water. The one that baptizes with water is a man. Is that, what is that echoing thing here? Is that off the chairs or something? Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Does it need to be adjusted? Oh, you can. Okay, now, so we see here, he says, John answered, he says, I indeed baptize you with water. So the baptizer with water is a man. All right, he says, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. John saying the way you're getting baptized with the Holy Ghost is not by me, but I'm the one that baptized you with water, but the one that comes after me, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, reads a little bit the same. It's not fire is not always written there. Sometimes it's just the Holy Ghost. Mark chapter 1, verse 7 speaks like this. He says, "And preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed have baptized you." So the ones that John's talking to, the Pharisees and the Sadducees or whoever's out there, whoever's in this audience, John's telling them, "I indeed have baptized you." So we're speaking, the ones that John's speaking to about baptizing with the Holy Ghost are ones that have been baptized with water. "I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." Alright, now we're going to go to Luke chapter 24. And see, well, this is a promise to the church. This is for us. It's not just for, some would say that it was just for the disciples. Well, if it was just for the disciples, why did John tell them that I've baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost, the ones that had been baptized of John. I don't know that the household of Cornelius was there, but the people that were there were baptized with water, and they were promised another baptism by the Spirit. All right, Luke chapter 24, verse 49 speaks like this. He says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." So here we find that there is a promise. He said, "I send the promise." Now remember the word promise. I want you to really remember that word promise. Jesus Christ said, "I send the promise." The promise is not just to the disciples. Watch. Remember, because the promise was first made by John the Baptist, that we find by John the in the New Testament, by John the Baptist, when he says, "I baptize you with water, but the one that comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost." Jesus comes and tells him, that talks about the promise of the Father, says, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." We go to Acts 1, Acts the first chapter, beginning in verse 4, states like this. Says, Acts 1 and 4, says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So there we go. We have we baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And then the Bible says, "And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, what wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and to all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." So we see here that John the Baptist first started off giving us this promise, and it wasn't to the disciples, but it was the ones that he baptized. He says, "I have baptized you with water." We see that the promise was also given to his disciples and told them to tarry in Jerusalem till they were endued with this power. Okay, now we see in Acts the second chapter, when the day of Pentecost, in chapter 2 verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that they were all with one accord, and there came a sound from heaven, like as of a rushing mighty wind, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire. It sat upon them, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But watch what Peter says. Now remember, Jesus called it, He said, wait for the promise of the Father, over in the 24th chapter of Luke. And then he also said in verse 4, he says, wait for the promise of the Father again. So we have two places where he's talking about the promise of the Father. So we understand that the promise of the Father is the Holy Ghost. And this same promise was also given by John the Baptist. He said he would baptize you with the Holy Ghost. He's the one that baptized you with the Holy Ghost. Now I want to go to Acts 2:38. And let's look how that promise is carried on to us. Because some individuals will argue the fact that, well, it was just, the promise was just made to the disciples. But let's see what he says here in Acts 2:38. He says here in Acts 2:38, he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the," not Father, Son, Holy Ghost, "in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." I want to say that one more time. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you," not some or half, or maybe if you decide you think you want to, "but every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now we see here, he's promising them that if they will repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that they'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But what about the promise of the Father? That is the promise of the Father, because we find right after that, he says in verse 39, he says, for the promise is unto you, not just to the disciples, not just to those that John the Baptist baptized when he says, I have baptized you in water, but Jesus is going to baptize, the one coming after me is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Not just to the ones when he said, go and tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high, for this is the promise of the Father we find. But he says, repent and be baptized every one of you, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then he says in verse 39, for the promise is unto you. It's not just for the disciples, but it's unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The promise of the Father, the promise of the baptism of the Spirit is not just for them, but it is for you. It was for the church at Corinth. It was for the church all throughout the Bible. That's how we are the church. We become the church by the Holy Spirit baptism. Let me show you now. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. He says, and let me make this statement, we do not enter into the body of Christ by water baptism. There is not one scripture in the Bible, not one, from Genesis to Revelation that tells us that water baptism will put us into the body. Let me show you now. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. How did we get into the body? By the Spirit. Spirit baptism. Again, verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. The way we got into the body was by the Spirit baptism. John 3:3 says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus didn't understand with his carnal mind. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? Does he go back into his mother's womb? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say in John 3:5, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and, not just water, and the Spirit. John said, I indeed baptize you with water. There's your water. But the one that comes after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That is your Spirit baptism. Water and Spirit. And Jesus said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that's the words of Jesus Christ. And here we find that by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Not by water. Not by John's baptism. Well, one might come along and say, well, you see, you're saying the Spirit baptized, but I thought Jesus was the baptizer. I thought Jesus was the baptizer. Now is the Spirit the baptizer? No. The way I'm going to explain that, because I already know what Don's probably going to come up here and say after me, or he might not now, but he might still. He's going to say, well, you see, here's the Spirit baptizer, but John said Jesus was the baptizer. If I had a baseball bat in my hand, and I was out playing baseball, and they pitched the ball at me, and I took the bat and hit the ball. I hit the ball with the bat. But the hitter's me. I'm the hitter. So the ball was hit. The hitter's the one that hit the ball. But it was hit by the bat. You're baptized by the Spirit. But the baptizer is Jesus Christ. We are baptized by one Spirit into one body. We are baptized, Jesus Christ is the baptizer, and we're baptized with the Spirit. Spirit baptism. And he said, well, how are you baptized by the Spirit into one body? Let me show you. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 27. Galatians 3 and 27 reads like this. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 27. I'll give you a chance to get to your Bibles. He says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ. How are you baptized into Christ? By one Spirit. You're baptized by one Spirit into one body. That one body is the body of Christ. So we are baptized into Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So you see there, the moment that you're baptized by the Holy Spirit into one body, you put Him on. That's when you begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you utterance. When you put Christ on, when the Spirit of God enters into you, just like it did on the day of Pentecost when they were there and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. It sat upon them. They began to speak with other tongues. You know, you could find this all across the land. It's not some hidden thing. God said, I didn't do this thing in a corner. Don McLean might say something about, well, what's the difference between tongues of what the Mormons do and tongues of what's done in churches today. I have the slightest idea what the Mormons do, but I'll tell you one thing. What's the difference from what the Mormons do and what they did on the day of Pentecost? I don't know what the Mormons are doing. I don't know what the Catholics are doing. I have no clue. I'm not up in their churches except when I'm witnessing to them. And I've never been to one of their services. But let me say this to you. On the day of Pentecost, what happened to them on the day of Pentecost is the same thing that's happening today. The very self-same thing. If we're not just like the church on the day of Pentecost, then we're not contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Is that what the Bible says? If they were baptized by the Holy Spirit and they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance, is that not the faith that was once delivered to the saints? And does not Jude tell us, do we not have a commandment in the book of Jude where he said, beloved, or well, matter of fact, let me read it. Jude chapter 1, beginning in verse... Jude chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. He says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. Common salvation. What always took... You notice two things, if you read in the Scripture, two things in conversion would take place. You'll see in conversion, you'll see the individuals be baptized by water in the name of Jesus Christ. And you'll see that Paul will lay his hands on them, or Peter will preach to them, but the Holy Spirit will come down and they'll come inside of them, and they'll receive the gift of the Spirit, and they'll begin to speak in other tongues. They're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Two things took place. Where do we get these two things? It all goes back to Jesus. John 3 and 5. Verily, verily, I stand to thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jude says here in Jude chapter 1, verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Can I do that today? Do you do that today? If we find in the book of Corinthians chapter 12 where they were received the Spirit, and by the Spirit they had different gifts, nine of them if I do recall. We see in verse 13, Paul talked about the gifts of the Spirit and prophecies. Verse chapter 12, most of the book is dealt on, besides women preachers, the rest of it dwelt on tongues, when it's in order, when it's out of order, how to do it, how not to do it. Prophesying was pushed more than anything. And he said the desire, after you find charity, desire spiritual gifts. So these things were written to the church. This was the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. I want to go to Acts chapter 11. Actually, no. Hold on. Bear with me here. I want to go to Acts chapter 10. I want to read something to you. Acts chapter 10. Beginning in verse... Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse... I want to go to verse 44. Acts chapter 10, verse 44 says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out. I want you to look at this word here. Was also poured out what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. Alright? Look at that. Now read the next verse. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. I'm going to repeat that. Verse 45. When the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Have you ever heard that statement anywhere else in the Bible? The gift of the Holy Ghost. And how do we know they had the gift of the Holy Ghost? Look what he said. For they heard them, he said, was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. I recall Acts 2 and 38. Let's read that one more time if you don't mind. Acts 2 and 38. Remember what he said. It was also poured out what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. What is the gift of the Holy Ghost? Well, it said, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So when they received the gift of the Holy Ghost, there was tongues. All right, let's read Acts chapter 38, Acts 2 and 38. He said, repent. And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says it was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost on the household of Cornelius. And for they heard him speak. They knew that they had the Holy Ghost, for they heard him speaking with tongues. That was the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost ain't the gift of, as someone wants to say, it's the gift of salvation. Now you have salvation and the Word of God's in you. The gift of the Holy Ghost, and John, or Acts the 10th chapter was, when the gift of the Holy Ghost was poured on them, they spoke with tongues. That's what they did. And we have a promise. What was the promise of the Father? The promise of the Father was wait in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. When was that fulfilled? It was fulfilled whenever they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. It was the baptism of the Spirit. It was fulfilled at that place what Jesus told him to do. But then it carried on when Peter stood up and Peter stood up and gave us the keys and told us that if we repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that we will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost for the promises unto us and our children and as many as the Lord our God shall call. But I want to go to where my mind was just going a second ago, to Acts the second chapter, beginning in verse, Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. Well, let's start in verse 12. I'll try to read fast. I think we're probably down to about 6 minutes. All right. Chapter 2 of Acts, verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, but this is that..." seeing it's about the third hour of the day, "but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Listen to what Joel said. He's going to quote him. Verse 17. "And it shall come to pass in the last days..." Are we in the last days? Does anybody believe that we are in the last days? The last days started 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years. How do I know that? Well, Jesus, Peter says right here, he says, "This is that which was spoken in the last days." So the last days begin there. Has the last days been fulfilled? Are we still in the last days? Look what he said. He says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Not just the apostles. Not just the apostles. All flesh. Not just the household of Cornelius. All flesh. "And I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." What does all flesh mean? It means every nation under God. Every nation under God. It don't matter if you're Hebrew. It don't matter if you're Mexican. It don't matter if you're Chinese, Japanese, what you are. All flesh. Now, does that mean that every single flesh is going to receive the Spirit of God? No. All. There's no separation. All flesh. Every flesh. There's no barrier. "And it shall come to pass the last day, saith God, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Visions, dreams. This is for the last days. This is for the last days. I'm in fellowship with quite a lot of people that get dreams and visions from God. We might not know about them because we block it out with our mind. Religion is one of the worst things that's happened to us. Because we're trained in religion that we can't look outside the box. And even though the Word of God says that the twisting of the Scriptures and so forth blocks our mind and we can't receive it. But somewhere down the line, we've got to push all these religions, all these doctrines, and all these things away and say, "God, you show me." Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't just believe a preacher and take him at his word. The Bible said the blind will lead the blind and they'll both fall in the ditch. Isaiah chapter 9, well, I'm not going to get into all that. But you've got to know God for yourself. You've got to know God for yourself. You've got to search the Scriptures for yourself. Alright, we're going to go to... He said, "And it shall come to pass," verse chapter 2, verse 17, "And it shall come to pass, saith, in the last days, and they have not, we're still in the last days. If we're not in the last days, it's over with. So he said, "It would come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaids will I pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will shew wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come." These things will be all the way up until that time. When the great and notable day of the Lord come, let me tell you, when teleos has come, when Christ returns, we'll have no need for these things. But until that perfect tabernacle comes, we'll still need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We'll still need to have the indwelling of the Spirit of God within inside of us. I want to go to John chapter 7, verse 37. What do I got now? 2 minutes?
2 minutes and
30 seconds. All right, I want to go to John chapter 7, beginning in verse 37. Let's look and see what Jesus promised us. Is the baptism of the Spirit promised unto you? All right, let's see what the Word of God says. Or is it just to who John promised it to? Or is it just to who Jesus promised it to? Well, Peter opened it up and said, "It's for all that the Lord our God shall call." But we're gonna give Peter a witness. We're gonna let Jesus. But the Bible says, "Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established." All right, John chapter 7, beginning in verse 37, says like this: "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said." Now you can say you believe on Jesus Christ, but you got to do it as the Scripture hath said. I want to thank the Lord truly for this first part. I want to thank the Lord. Just want to encourage you and let you know that the Holy Spirit baptism is real. It is real. I received it 7 years ago. I remember it like it was yesterday. I might get cut off in this, but I'll say it as fast as I can. All right. When I started seeking after God, I wanted His truth. I remember I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, September of 1999. The following 4 months later, I saw God for the Holy Spirit. God filled me with the Holy Ghost, just like He did in the Bible. Can I base my belief, my experience on Bible? Yes, I can. I've read to you what I have received when I spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. I remember after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I didn't know much about it. But I remember I'd go home and I would try to pray like I would normally pray. And when I would try to pray, I would do like Paul did. He said the Spirit would intercede with moanings and groanings which cannot be uttered. The Bible said, "I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with my understanding also." When I was praying, all of a sudden the tongue started to come out again as I was praying. And I didn't understand all that, you know. I had that, and then I took the Bible, and now I understand it. Why do I understand it? Because the Scripture says, Paul said, "I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with my understanding." He said, when I speak in an unknown tongue, he said, "My spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." Truly, I want to thank the Lord for this opportunity. We'll have one more chance after this. May God bless you and keep you.